Thanks, Tim. Good morning. Part two, Ghosts and Spirits, Angels and Afterlife. You know, if you have a really long title, it's going to have to be two parts. So if you missed last week, part one, we talked about ghosts and spirits, and we have a recording if you want to listen to it. The word ghost is used interchangeably between different versions with the word spirit. When people died in the Old Testament, it said that they gave up the ghost and died. And so today we're moving on and talking about angels. And I was thankful Tim prayed for an army of angels to surround Luke and Jessica's house. And I could just picture that. Just close your eyes and think about what an army of angels would look like over somebody's house, like Luke and Jessica. Today, angels and afterlife. I pulled up on the internet some pictures of angels. I don't know who took these pictures. I put one on the cover here. This is the Psalm 91 angel that's guarding. I wanted one sword. And he's guarding us. If we, like Tim prayed, to guard. This is the kind of angel you want. You don't want some, you know, smiley, nice-looking angel. You want one that's tough, like this. And then what's interesting is we could have put on a Hebrews 13 angel. That verse in Hebrews 13:2, you might entertain an angel unaware. Now, I'm thinking that if you entertain this guy for lunch, you'd remember. You'd not be unaware that he was an angel. So, an angel might look more like your neighbor or somebody seated next to you. They apparently can change their looks so that we entertain them unaware. That's what God's Word says. And I believe God's Word, and we preach God's Word here. And so whatever it says, I believe. Now, I don't know if I've entertained an angel before. I know I've entertained some non-angels, but not sure about an angel. So let's pray and we'll get started here about angels. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just to understand your word better. Lord, speak through me today and use me, Lord, to help give understanding to your word and help us to appreciate what your word says about angels and afterlife. And I thank you, Lord, for each person here. May you open their eyes to your truth about angels and afterlife to come, the spiritual realm, Father. We're so focused on the physical world around us. We forget about the spiritual realm. Help us to open our eyes to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the two verses that Tim finished with, Psalm 91 and Hebrews 13, give us two different looks at what an angel might be like. And so there's not just one mold for an angel. He doesn't have to look like the one on the cover. He can look like somebody that would live in this world. Have you ever heard of the book, This Present Darkness? It's a really good book, and it's actually a series. And I recommend that you grab a copy. Probably get them at the thrift store now for a dollar, but they've been around a long time. Borrow one from somebody. I pulled up a little write-up about Frank Peretti's novels, and it says, he wove into the realm of spiritual combat where action hero physique angels cross swords with smoke-snorting demons. Peretti's human characters play an integral role in this ongoing war, their prayer lives strengthening or jeopardizing the effects of our unseen heavenly guardians, and their actions sending ripples through the spirit world. Now, I'm not here to promote this book. That's not the purpose here. I'm here to promote God's book, the Bible. And whatever God says about angels is true. He knows he created them. It says in Genesis, he created all things. And so I was going to ask you, how many believe in angels? I suspect most of us do. Well, let me ask. Most of us. Okay. Well, good. There was a poll taken, a survey in 2007. 1,700 adults in the U.S., 55% of them says that they believe that they've been protected from harm by an angel. 45% said they've been called by God to do something. 23% said they've experienced miraculous healing, and 20% said that they heard the voice of God. So of all those questions, most of them believed that they had interaction with an angel, somehow protected by an angel. And I know I've talked to Wayne about accidents, and Tom, where they've seen miraculous things happen, and where a car should have rolled a certain way and people die. God's hand and angels are at work in our lives, especially when we, by faith, we pray, as we did this morning corporately. Tim prayed for angels to guard somebody's house. And you might think, why do we need to pray? Why do we need to help these angels to know what to do? Because God wants this world to live by us, by faith, to act in faith. Otherwise, he could just send the angels wherever he wanted to do whatever he desired. But I think it's important that we realize that this is by faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 30, we're going to talk about that faith and how God uses that. But before we get there, I want to talk about a story that I read. I'll share part of the story. It was a boxer who was being pummeled by his opponent. How many of you watched a boxing match where somebody's being pummeled? Okay, not too many. More of you believe in angels. That's good. But this boxer, between rounds, he sat down in the corner, and his trainer came over, and he's trying to give him encouragement. And, you know, don't worry, that guy's not even touching you. And the boxer looked up at him and said, really? He said, then you better keep an eye on that referee, because somebody's killing me out there. That's right. He knew that he was in a battle. He knew the pain and the consequences of the battle that he was in. In the same way, we can be in a battle, a fearsome battle, like this boxer is in. And we can feel the pain. Or we might be oblivious to it. And we might occasionally see the pain in our neighbor, our family, or others around us. There is a battle. And it's a real opponent. And the angels are on our side. They're involved. And we can see in the world around us the scars, painful and bloody, just like the boxer was getting. There's war among nations, shattered lives. We have broken homes, suicide, rape, abuse, immorality of all kinds. These are consequences of the war that battles. The spiritual warfare goes on and on. I want you to see this war. I want you to be engaged in this war. As Christians, we are to be ready to fight the battle, to pray for those that are needy, to help with the outcome in others' lives and in our own. But first and foremost, we need to understand this is the Lord's battle. We're involved, but it's really, first and foremost, his battle. And only then can we get involved and be effective and be victorious. 2 Chronicles 20 says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. 1 Samuel 17, the battle is the Lord's. And he will give all of you into our hands. So even though we're warriors and we require to act in faith, the battle is God's. Who remembers a song or the story of Jericho? It's a good story. How many have visited a castle? I have visited a castle. The walls where you would shoot the cannon through were like 6 to 10 feet thick of rock. It was amazing. You'd think, well, there's no way anybody's going to get into that castle. Well, that's how Jericho was. It was a fortress, a city with walls around it that were impenetrable. And yet, what did God do? He told Joshua, he said, go march around the city 6 days in a row. March around it one time. On the seventh day, march around it seven times, blow the trumpets and shout. Well, what's that going to do? Joshua could have said. But he acted in faith. He didn't do much. He did some marching. And he told the people to blow the trumpets, and then they shouted. And as the song goes, and the walls came tumbling down, they acted in faith. It wasn't what they did that caused the walls to fall down. It's because God used their faith to cause something to happen. And that's what you have to realize today, is that small steps, small actions taken in your life can make big effects in the world around us. We can cause walls to fall down. And they might be real walls like Jericho, or they might be a spiritual stronghold, whether it's abortion or gay rights or whatever it is that is sin in our world. God sees it that way, and we need to act in faith and to make things happen. So getting back to Hebrews 11, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. You know, if it wasn't in the Bible, I really wouldn't believe that story. They marched around the city, they blew the trumpets and shouted, and the walls of the city fell down. Who would believe that story if it wasn't in the Bible? Nobody. I don't think anybody would. But God's word is true. It's all true, and it's all for teaching us. And we need to grab hold of that perspective. We're involved in a war, and God wants us to show faith, to act in faith. And he wants to prepare us. It says in Psalm 144, praise be to Psalm 24. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who would you rather be in battle with than the Lord? Can you think of anybody? These angels are great. You know, this angel with the sword, he looks pretty tough. But he's nothing compared to God. God is on our side besides this angel and multitudes of angels. We have God on our side. We need to live in faith, act in faith, and start today. Because we are in a war. It's like we can declare war on Satan today. Long ago, before I was born, we declared war on Japan. Well, they really attacked us. But we responded. Are you to respond today? Satan is warring against us. And we can see it in the world around us, the effects. Pulling prayer out of school. Abortion legalized. It goes on and on. There's so much example. Satan is winning the battle. As we stand around and watch, we need to act in faith. There's a story that I heard about when I was in Israel. And I probably have talked about it, the Valley of Tears. You can look it up. October of 1973, the Syrians were attacking Israel from the north with tanks that were, they even had like night vision capability and they were superior Israeli tanks. And they were outnumbered. The Syrians outnumbered the Israelis by a lot. Different accounts. I've read that 500 Syrian tanks were stood back by 40 Israeli tanks. And one of the stories that we heard when we were over in Israel was that they were down to like one tank that was really working, a couple that were out of ammunition. And these two or three, they turned and they started to pretend like they were going to attack. And this multitude of tanks left over from Syria, all of a sudden they turned and ran. And the only explanation is that there were angels, maybe looking like tanks, we're not sure. But they turned understand. We'll have to ask when we get to heaven what actually happened. But they were outnumbered. We had one tank that was actually able to fire, and the other warriors, they turned in fear. They ran. There's a story in the Bible that is kind of similar to that. It reminds me of that. 2 Kings 6. Gehazi is the guy, servant of a man of God. He got up early and he went out the next morning. It says, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. They didn't have tanks. They had an army with chariots and horses. Now, what if we were surrounded, this city, by chariots of horses and men? Tanks, let's say tanks. What if we were surrounded? Would you be able to act in faith? Or would you tremble in fear and give up? Because Satan is attacking us like he's surrounding us. And sometimes we give in too easily. And we're not willing to fight and act in faith. In verse 17, Elisha, this was a servant. He had been talking to Elisha. Elisha said, Lord, he prayed, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. Not the ones he had seen originally. Now, there's chariots of fire. The angels had come in. Well, actually, his eyes were opened to the angels to see that they were there. He felt like they were outnumbered because he could not see into the spiritual realm. Ever feel like you're outnumbered? Like, time to give up. God, I can't do it. I'm outnumbered. Well, look, open my spiritual eyes, Lord, so I can see the battle, so I can see the angels, the chariots of fire. This dude, okay? They might look like this. Chariots of fire might have been a better picture because that's what's available to us if we can call it to God in faith, just like Elisha did, open my servant's eyes so I can see what is really out there. In the physical realm, it's easy for us to feel like we're outnumbered. We need to realize that this war is a spiritual war. There's spiritual warfare going on, just like the Frank Peretti book that I was reading about. And this war affects every area of our life, even though we might not realize it. There might be no way for you to avoid conflict in the spiritual realm. I mean, you might see it happening in a family member or a friend or a neighbor. Call out to God. Don't join with them in their discouragement. Call out to God. God, open our eyes. Help us to see into the spiritual realm. Help us to see what's available to us, to help us combat what's going on. We forget, or we don't even realize there's a spiritual war going on. Whether we're discouraged or depressed or defeated, we give in too easily. We feel outnumbered. We need to fight. We need to act in faith. We need to pray. And we need to grab hold of God and the angels and what's available to us to be successful in this realm. Ephesians 6, Paul writes, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. You know, I always thought that was a location. But now I understand that it's more than just a location. It's threefold, is what I read. It's here on earth. It's beyond the earth, outer space. It's also in the third realm, which is talked about in a particular verse. I don't have that at this section. But into the third realm, is it talks about in the heavenlies. And the heavenlies is where the battle goes on. So it goes on right here in earth. It goes on beyond that. It can exist anywhere. Just like Elisha and Gehazi, their eyes were opened to what was going on. In our lives, we need to be able to open our eyes to see into that spiritual realm, to see into the heavenlies and what's happening. As it affects our life, it affects our families, our marriages, even this church and our nation. It affects everything in the world. You name it. So when I ask a question here, think about how you might answer this. If you're going through a difficult situation, is this happening just by chance? Or do you think you're being affected by the spiritual realm? Think about a difficult situation that you're going through. Have you ever considered that it's related to a spiritual warfare? How about if you're just in a bad mood? Is that spiritual warfare? I think it is. What if you have a strained marriage today? Or a relationship with a family member or a friend that you're struggling? Do you think it's spiritual warfare that's affecting that? How about if you're being selfish or stingy or lying? Is that for no reason? Or is that related to the spiritual warfare that goes on? We can go on and on. Whether it's wars or famines or financial struggles, Satan wants to bring us down. He wants us to be depressed. And he wants us to be defeated. And he wants us to not act in faith. God wants us to act in faith. What are you going to choose today? Are you going to see the realm of angels that are available for us to call out for help? Or are you just going to be defeated and depressed? But before that happens, we need to make a choice. We need to grab hold of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, to have the Holy Spirit move within our lives and to empower us and to give us access to the throne of God. Otherwise, expect to be depressed. Expect to be defeated because you don't have access to the throne. You don't need me. You don't need a church to have access to the throne. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The enemy wants to destroy our lives. He wants to ruin God's plan. He wants brokenness to fill the world, depression and defeat. You know, as we plan to go to Romania, our goal is not to just fix up their building. It's to fix their lives, to give them hope in a Savior. The building is just a small part of what goes on, and the medical hygiene help that we can give them and the health help that we can give them, that's better compared to the Savior that they need, the hope that is eternal. As Christians, we have a great privilege. We can live in both realms, the physical realm, and we can move into the spiritual realm and have access to these angels and to God. Remember that there are angels that have chariots of fire and a sword, but there's also angels that we can entertain unaware, that can move into our life, maybe assist us, help us to make better decisions. I think that it's endless what they could do. I think we need to be prepared to meet up with an angel. God would send them to us. Now, if you look at the bottom two pictures, we'll finally get to those bottom two. Anybody know what The middle picture is there. Gates of heaven. I don't know who took that picture either, but that is possibly what it looks like. Now, why did I pick that picture? Anybody know? Look at the bottom. The angels there. I picked it because those are big angels. But look how big the gates are. Huge. You can hardly see the angels at the gate there. I thought it was cool how big the gate was, because sometimes we think too small of our God and of heaven and how great it is. I have no idea what heaven's gates are going to look like, and nobody really does, but that's okay. So I think they're going to be big. So I picked that picture. Now, that looks like a good place to go. Well, if your friend had a gate like that, you'd want to go see what's going on in there. Especially when he's standing there and the gate is like 150 feet high or whatever. That's a big gate. But to give you more incentive to go to where this gate is, the bottom picture is hell. And I really liked the way it came out. Really dark, black. The person over in the bottom left appears to be on fire. What a terrible place. How could anybody choose not to go to heaven when they see what hell might be like? If you have not made a choice to go to heaven, I encourage you today to make that choice. In the bulletin, I've included the Romans Road to Salvation. And really, as you read through Romans, it's an incredible book. And we've just pulled out a few verses, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. So what? So what? I've sinned. Well, sin means you're going to hell. For all have sinned. Everybody's headed that way unless they make a choice not to. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, every one of us. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Because we sinned, we get payment. We get paid wages. Because of our sin, the wages of sin is death. That's what we get, because we've all sinned. We're bound to go to hell because of those wages. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's that easy. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. A couple verses earlier, it says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that easy. Believe and receive. And it continues, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess or confess your faith and are saved. I've included a prayer at the end of the bottom of the bulletin there. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then you're headed for the bottom picture. And it's more miserable than any picture can show. I believe that you'll have eternal separation from God, that you will not interact with people, and that you will be in black, burning pain for eternity. Before we close, I'd like to read a quote from Steve Jobs. He was giving a commencement address at Stanford years ago, and he said, remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've encountered ever to help me make big choices in life. Remembering that I'll be dead soon helps me to make big choices in life. All of us, in the big scheme of things, are going to be dead soon. In the lifeline compared to eternity, we have this much time to live. Can't even see it on the lifeline of eternity. Does that help you to make a good choice, a big choice in your life? Let's bow our heads, and I'm going to read this prayer in the bulletin. If you want to read along and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please do so silently. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I am not where I want to be in my life. And I want your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Please wash me clean from all my sin, from all my shame and guilt. Come into my life, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. I ask you in your precious name. Amen. Please keep your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer just now for the first time and received Jesus as Lord and Savior, please look at me now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's said that angels in heaven are rejoicing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for salvation. Help us to see this spiritual realm around us, Lord. Help us to live by faith. Lord, I thank you for each person that has claimed you that has claimed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I thank you, Lord, help us to move forward and to be wise in all that we do and to act in faith and to be part of this battle and to be part of the solution. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.